Welcome to HIT Consultant Podcast Series. In this podcast, we will be speaking with Keon Sinai, CEO of Independent Incorporated. Today's podcast will be about health measures, a new remote home health monitoring service. This week's podcast is sponsored by Dr. First. Visit them at www.drfirst.com. For more information on how you can sponsor a podcast on HIT Consultant, please contact us here at www.hitconsultant.net. Thanks, and have a great day.
You know, saw that you have remote health monitoring and not really familiar with the health measures and really just really wanted to know a little bit more about, you know, what you guys are doing with this caregiver web app, as well as, you know, how things went during, you know, CES last week.
Okay. So
all great questions. CES was fantastic. We made two announcements. One was the health measures, which you know about. The other one, which you may have seen also, was we announced our strategic partnership with LG Electronics.
Okay.
And LG is an investor, and we're looking to go after long-term care facilities, senior living facilities, together with the Independent software running on commercial LG TVs. So that's a big deal. Going back to, and we received a huge amount of press, thanks to, you know, the progress that we have and Laura's good work, and so we're really happy about CES. We got a lot of both partnership as well as customer interest as well as visibility.
Okay.
Back to health measures. So health measures is a terrific way to have someone enter either themselves or through home health or visiting nurse their biotelemetry, things like their weight or their blood pressure or their oxygen level, their pulse, glucose levels based on just using a simple telephone. So the idea is that you could set thresholds that are important to individuals, but rather than have a big wireless installation and having new devices be taken to someone's home and have them get used to them and so forth, they could use the existing devices, particularly 24, 48, 72 hours after discharge. It's really impractical to set up a whole new system to be monitored through, but everyone still has a phone, and if you have even a home health person, it's easier, but you can do this yourself. You just get a call, and it says, this is your health measure, call, press 1 to enter your weight, 2 to enter your blood pressure, so forth. And we validated audibly so you can, you know, verify that it was the right data that you entered. And then from there on in, it's as though you have a wireless health connection through all these devices and all the thresholds are applied. And if your weight's increasing suddenly or dropping suddenly or your blood pressure's too high or too low or your sugar levels are, you know, not where they should be, then the right type of visibility gets registered elsewhere remotely, and then people can take care of you.
Okay. So this would be primarily, well, this would be an mHealth application, obviously. So I just recently was writing about telehealth, so this kind of really kind of go hands in hand with, you know, telehealth as far as the home health industry. So this should be very beneficial to, you know, for remote monitoring and things of that nature. What are your thoughts on where the industry is going as far as telehealth, mHealth, all of these buzzwords? Where do you feel like, or you feel like we're just really getting started with how far we can go with creating a more patient-centered model, as well as kind of, you know, what you're doing is providing the tools for you know, patients to manage their own health. Where do you really see that going in the future?
Right. So in our view, the true patient-centered model doesn't even have a patient in it when you think about it.
Okay.
Because as soon as you have a patient, then you have a doctor and you have a provider and you have a particular episode related to that patient per se. Whereas really nobody wants to be a patient. Everyone is a customer. And in particular, if you're managing chronic diseases or you're managing other types of issues because you're getting old, for instance, maybe you have early Alzheimer's, early dementia, just simple forgetfulness, et cetera. Those are all areas where families and the healthcare system, you know, don't disagree on if somebody is late out of bed 4 hours and they've never been out of bed past, let's say, 7:30 a.m., that's a potential health event that somebody should know about. But it doesn't fall into telemedicine, and it doesn't fall into anyone's diagnosis for a patient.
Mm-hmm.
So the important aspect of telehealth versus telemedicine is all about patients, and it's all about doctors, and it's all about saving a visit out and providing visibility from a distance while you're diagnosing. Telehealth is what happens, you know, the other 99.99% of the time, where, you know, somebody is not looking at you to diagnose, but it's important for you to maintain your health and wellness. And there's a lot of data that can help determine whether there are certain things that might be going wrong that people are very interested in. I mentioned about getting out of bed, maybe going to the bathroom too often or too little, even things like leaving the front door open for too long. But other things like forgetting to eat. So if you're in the house all day and haven't opened up the fridge, then there's a problem. And these are very real situations and conditions that families and individuals are faced. And typically what ends up happening is you have to, you know, spend money out of your pocket to either have home care or to have someone go to a facility, which people don't want to do, and it's very expensive. So what we provide is a first line of defense in those situations to have visibility from a distance to care as though you were there. So if you were there, mom's 4 hours late out of bed, you'd do something about it. You'd find out if she's okay. But if you don't know about it because she's living alone and, you know, days come and go, then by the time you find out, there may be something serious that you could have prevented earlier.
Exactly. What are some of the barriers as far as getting this to the general public, as far as a technology standpoint? Do you think there's any barriers, any particular issues that may prevent this from, you know, really being successful as far as people being, you know, adverse to technology, you know, especially like the older population?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So there are two things that you need to do very well. One is you need to have a fully integrated solution. Otherwise, it really falls apart and becomes cumbersome. By that, I mean you need to have a view of the person's health metrics without diagnosing, but being able to share that data and trend it over time. You need to be able to do the same with activity and environmental metrics so that, like I mentioned, if the home's too hot, for instance, mom forgets to lower her thermostat summer times in Orlando, and she gets dehydrated and collapses a couple times every summer and gets sent to the ER. And, you know, I call her every day, and the neighbor tries to check in on her, but, you know, that's what's been happening. So now, if the inside temperature in her apartment is 95 or 85 degrees, forget about 99, 85 degrees, you know, I get an alert and I get to talk to mom and say, mom, you really need to lower that thermostat. I know you think it's not hot, but it's actually really hot for you. So those are all the holistic view and integrated view. And along with that, what's very importantly for us is, and for the people we serve, is the notion of social engagement. So nobody is old, nobody wants to be old, nobody you know, feels like they're old. Just like we talked about, nobody wants to be a patient. So the system really has to give you social engagement. So in our case, for instance, even as simple but powerful as using a telephone to connect to your loved one. So you get an automated call that comes in and says it's your grandson Nick's birthday. Press 1 to get connected. So you don't have to remember birthdays and anniversaries. In the meantime, you get to talk to people, maybe leave them a voicemail. They call you back. So it spawns and fosters social engagement. We also have a platform called Angela. And Angela, the health and safety items that I mentioned to you is under a platform called Artemis. Artemis is the goddess of protection, particularly for the vulnerable, so it's a very fitting name for it. Angela, we gave the name because it's angel-like, and it gives you social engagement, single-touch access to Facebook, to email, games and puzzles, to your daily medication, weekly medication, daily calendar, weekly calendar. So it helps you manage your life in a fun way, that it's not about poking and prodding you, but actually for those who may not, like you said, be comfortable with technology, it's proven that it's not their issue, it's the technology's issue. We has shown that, and the iPad has shown that the elderly are fine with technology as long as it is designed properly. And that's the second element, is design. So, and design really goes to social engagement, ease of use, being even inviting for the person. So they feel young and vibrant and engaging, not, cumbersome and outdated, so to speak. So those are the two elements that make it very important to be successful. One is highly holistic, integrated view, so that you integrate with health and safety and social engagement and the telephone and use it in very productive ways in every way possible. And then second one is, through all that, it's not really about the technology, it's about the ease of use.
Right, exactly. And those are really my next, couple of questions was how intuitive and how easy is it, to use. So I think those answered those questions perfectly. How long would it take for someone to become really comfortable in using it? Granted, that is, very intuitive and very easy. Would it just really, you can really just pick it up fairly easy? What type of training methods and modules do you guys offer to get up and running?
Well, actually, the goal was to, which we accomplished, was to never really require any training. So we not only don't require training, but we also don't require any knowledge of computer or use of computer before seeing our system. So everything is single touch, big icons with words under them as well, and very descriptive, very simple, so you have fun and web and social and health and calendar or schedule. And that's it. So you click on those things and good things happen. Under social, you click on that and you see video, you see email, you see Facebook. And so you don't have to train on anything. Under web, you click on it. You're not browsing the open internet. You get to do it by category. So you see sports and entertainment and news and a couple others I forget, including an open one that's other. And each one has, a number of different sites. So that you get to navigate, you get to stay on top of things that you care about, but also, you're not going to go get a phishing attack and you don't worry about Microsoft, Tuesday updates and iTunes updates and so forth. So there's no training.
Good, good. That sounds really good. So the partnership between you and LG, and this would be, going towards the home health industry, are you targeting nursing homes as well? Or particularly does it have to exactly be for people, the elderly in the home exactly, but also, hospice or other nursing facilities?
Well, at this point, the target is what we call senior living, which doesn't necessarily include nursing homes, but certainly the same solution could apply to nursing homes. It does not include home health because the TV has to be installed somewhere, right? So it's not a big installation, it's a standard TV, but unless somebody wants to install the TV in their home, there's other ways to get to Angela. So Angela's running on that TV. There's other ways to get to Angela in the home, including a tablet or a computer.
Mm-hmm.
But in a facility, you now get to avoid that tablet or computer purchase and having that second device there. Everyone uses the TV. Everyone's watching programming. And so our solution actually allows you to interact with that elderly person on top of the programming. So they're watching TV and they get a medication reminder, for instance, right on top of the program. So it's very powerful.
Now, would that have to be exactly a LG television?
Yes. The current relationship, obviously, is with
yeah.
LG.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But
good.
You can imagine conceptually the power of that overall.
Yeah, exactly.
And by the way, LG is the market leader in hospitality. So it's not, they're not coming out of nowhere on this. They have the hospitality market by far in a leadership position. So they're looking to provide the same leadership position in terms of thought leaders with us and, of course, market leadership with themselves and their great products in the long-term care senior living market.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with you. I travel a lot, and every hotel, there's an LG.
Yep.
So it definitely seemed like they have got a great market share over that market, and it's good to see them recognize the potential, in the healthcare industry as well.
Yeah, if you can emphasize that in your write-up, that's a big deal because really they should be given credit for their vision on this, right? Because, they're looking at this and saying it's not just about the TV. It's about essentially when you think about when you go to a hotel, you know, you have an LG TV serving up LodgeNet usually, right? So that's the killer app for hospitality is LodgeNet. And they feel we're the killer app for senior living. So it's not just the TV, but the combination of the TV and a very rich serving of an application to this particular demographic.
Okay, good. Are there any other features, new enhancements, or anything that you have coming down the pipeline that I want to be aware of?
Well, you know, we're always innovating. We're always coming out with new things. You can always expect that from us, but nothing to announce or review right now.
Okay. Man, I know that independence of, you know, Angela is cloud-based. Can you just, more of a technical aspect, can you tell me more about Angela specifically?
Sure. Sorry, I'm under the weather here, so I'm trying to clear my throat as I chat.
Oh, sorry about that.
So Angela, yes, is cloud-based. By that, the whole notion of a cloud is that, you know, there's no installation required in your facility, and all the data and the, you know, computing is done elsewhere. So, yes, Angela is cloud-based, but Angela really has an interface. So there's an interface that is where the elderly person is. So that interface is clearly not in the cloud. It's in front of the elderly person. But the beauty is it's fully integrated with the cloud, fully integrated with the telephone even, so that if you can imagine, and that was my point about being integrated and easy to use. So one of many examples is if you have a reminder in the system and the person has Angela, the reminder first pops up on the Angela screen. And if they don't dispose of it, then it actually gets sent automatically to the phone. So it's not an isolated system and an isolated product, or even in some cases folks have out there like toys that, you know, there's something for the elderly to poke and, you know, have fun with. It's really part of an overall system to monitor someone. You can actually keep track of their use of different areas of the system, and if, you know, over time you get data that's very valuable on that. So that's what we mean by it's in the cloud, is that it's all seamless integrated in the same type of threshold settings and cloud computing that the rest of the system is, including Artemis with health and safety and sensor data, and the telephone with all the touchtone responses that you might get.
Okay. And what are your personal opinion about the utilization of cloud in healthcare, as well as the security, you know, some of the potential security risks associated with cloud adoption? Are you very pro cloud, or, you know, are you, you know, where are you standing on that line? Because everybody has different opinions. You know, some people are really just starting to embrace it, and some people, you know, fully embrace it as long as they do the proper security measures to make sure that it is, you know, safe.
Well, you just answered it. You
yeah.
answered it. So number two. So it really is that, you know, technology as it evolves has to be implemented in the context of what's important to various industries. In this case, you know, security is critically important, HIPAA compliance and so forth. But there's no denying that lower costs of ownership, lower costs of deployment, faster time to market, all those benefits, there's a lot of, from an IT perspective, benefits of being in the cloud where you don't need to have your own expertise to do things like high availability and scalability and so forth. Those are all taken care of by someone else. Now, you can go duplicate those outside the cloud and have your own sort of micro cloud, right, your own company's systems, and it still comes to the Internet and you control it more. But the whole idea is we're at the age where you really want to leverage these server farms and the cloud, and to the extent that exactly what you said is happening, there's no issues with that. So, you know, you want to make sure the security is there, scalability is there, the compliance requirements are met. Beyond that, it's transparent. It doesn't matter. You know, whether it's a cloud or not, it shouldn't matter.
This has been today's podcast brought to you by HIT Consultant. Thank you and have a great day.